The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury, and he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Happy feast day. I'm glad to be with you all this morning here alongside Father Carey. And this morning, we got a great little message from one of our seminarians who many of you know, Justin, who's studying in Rome. And so he wished us a happy feast day because he got to spend his time here. And you tend, all the places you spend your time at, you tend to sort of take those patrons on into your life. I know that I always ask for the intercession of every single assignment that I've had as a seminarian or a priest as at the end of my rosary. Usually I ask for their intercession. You build a relationship with them. And so one of the things I asked him, I haven't gotten a response yet, but he's got the great privilege of just down the hill in the area in Rome called Trastevere. That's where Santa Cecilia is, Santa Cecilia, they would say in Italian. And so it's just down the hill from him. So I asked him if he's gonna go down there because there's a great devotion for the seminarians to go to a lot of the ancient Roman martyrs' churches. And truly, her story is absolutely amazing. Of course, it's a story of perseverance in her life, but also a great one of evangelization. And I'm sure you guys have heard this before just because you're here at the church. But a lot of the things that are amazing, even about her, not just her martyrdom, but then her life, and then also the circumstances after her life, her sanctity and her canonization as well. And so, you know, it said that she made this vow of virginity during her life, but then she was betrothed to be married to a man named Valerian. But on their wedding night, you know, he told her about this vow that she had made to the Lord. And he agreed. He agreed that they would live as brother and sister and that and she could keep her vow of virginity. And her example was so unbelievably powerful, her evangelization, that she basically convinced not only Valerian, but also Tiburtius, another friend or brother. Sometimes you get them all confused. And they also converted to the faith. And because they wouldn't renounce the faith, they were also martyred. And then how St. Cecilia gets in trouble is because, of course, it was outlawed to bury the Christian dead. That was one of the practices that really separated Christian burial from pagan burial. A lot of pagan burial was still in burning the dead and doing that, but Christian burial was uniquely different in keeping the body intact because of our belief in the bodily resurrection. And so it was very countercultural to what you would see in that time. And so when St. Cecilia wants to go bury them on the Appian Way, then she gets in trouble for that very task. And then they want to put St. Cecilia to death for that very reason. And so they make two attempts to kill St. Cecilia. One of them, they try to suffocate her in the baths of her own house, the steam bath in her own house, by the water, the scalding of the water, and then the steam itself. And she doesn't die. She's unharmed completely from that situation. And then they send somebody who's an experienced executioner to behead her. And then what ends up happening is that Roman law says that you can make three swings of the axe, essentially, or a sword, to behead the person. But he was so nervous and so anxiety-ridden by her sanctity. They said she was beautiful and small and this holy little person that he could really barely even carry out his task. And so even after the third swing, he could not completely, you know, sever her head. It sounds so terrible and gruesome to say these things, but it's, and he runs away. He runs away in fear of the situation that he's in. But then St. Cecilia, she still lives for a little while longer. That doesn't even completely kill her, so she has to suffer a little while longer. And although she's not able to speak anymore, and I'll go back to one thing. There's a couple traditions about how she's attached to music, but one of them is when she was trying to be executed the first time, they said she was singing psalms all during that time that she was supposed to be executed in the baths. And so that music was something that was penetrating all that was surrounding her. But after that failed attempt at beheading her, you could see one of the famous things that happened was she was laying on her side. And even when they buried her in the exact same position that she was laying. And later on, they got one of a very talented Roman artist to do the sculpture of her that I'm sure some of you have pictures of. There's a picture actually in Father Carey's office of her laying in that very position. But there's something so important. Even in her death, when she could no longer sing or speak, even with her hands, even in that sculpture, it's depicted the way her hands still are to this day, is that she had her three fingers outstretched to proclaim her belief in the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it said that these two folded fingers are symbolic of the twofold humanity and divinity of Christ. And then she had the other finger up as one, as the one true God. So even when she could not speak, she was still preaching the gospel. She was still proclaiming our belief in the one true God and in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's just an amazing, amazing source of courage. She's known to be the very first incorruptible saint. That's unbelievable. So before that phenomenon was even understood or known, in 822, Pope Paschal I wants to find her body. And she was buried in the catacombs of St. Callistus. And I'm sure some of you have even been there if you've been to Rome. But they didn't know exactly where. And it was said, it was revealed specifically to him in a dream. And then they went to the catacombs, and she was exactly where it was said that she would be. And when they found her, she was in that exact same position in which she was martyred, laying down with her hands in that same position, still preaching the gospel, still proclaiming her belief in God. And then in 1599, in one of the most well-documented exhumations of a saint, they found her incorrupt. 13 centuries later. That's unbelievable. Completely unbelievable. So we have, and then one of her relics is in our very altar here. And she's immortalized in the Roman canon in the first Eucharistic prayer. So there's a lot of patrons out there, right? And all the saints are in the communion of heaven. But I mean, St. Cecilia is a heavy hitter. And then that plays into, they said she was very small and beautiful. They were all taken by her smallness when she was exhumed. And one of the things that we realize today too in our gospel is the smallness of the widow's mite. That the Lord is not looking for our gifts, our talents, and our mightiness, but he's oftentimes looking for our smallness. We remember St. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. All the saints recognize that. That's one thing that they all have in common. They realize how much the Lord needs to increase and how small that we need to get in comparison to him, so people realize what's really important in life. And this is one of the other very important things about our gospel, is that the Lord works with cooperation, not concession. Those that are willing to let go of their will and cooperate with the will of God are the ones that are able to follow him wholeheartedly. Not the ones like those who gave from their excess wealth. Well, they conceded to the fact, well, the church tells me that I need to tithe, so I guess I'll tithe because I'm being told to. So that's concession, right? But the widow's mite was giving everything that she had. And so that's truly cooperating with Christ. And that's exactly what St. Cecilia does. And she converts many other people in the process. And no doubt she's still converting people in the process. So we truly celebrate a great saint of the church, and we celebrate our patroness, St. Cecilia, today. And if Justin, in fact, does go to the church, I will be sure that he prays for all of us, all of our parishioners here at St. Cecilia. God bless you all today.